They huddled inside the room where, hearing the screams of fellow Christians being butchered outside, Pastor Hendrik Paddywall and his wife were helping to lead the Indonesian youth camp. And they felt responsible for the young people in their care. The camp had been a joyous time of spiritual growth and worship. Then they were attacked. When the radical Muslim mob surrounded the building where they hid, Pastor Paddywall went outside, distracting the bloodthirsty mob's attention away from his wife and the young people. The pastor was attacked while the others escaped. "Jesus, help me," they were his final words. His wife next saw him lying in a coffin. Ugly wounds crisscrossed his torso and arms. In shock and anger, Mrs. Paddywall cried out to God, "How could you let this happen? Why didn't you protect my husband?" But the Holy Spirit reminded her of her husband's words only days before the attack. "If you love Jesus, but you love me or your family more, you are unworthy of Christ's kingdom." He told her that he was ready to die for Christ's kingdom. Remembering these words, she refused to become bitter. She still works with her church in Indonesia. The advice that she would give Christians in free nations is simply this: seek God more earnestly so that you can stand in the midst of more trouble. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 16 and following, the Apostle Paul says to the believers at Thessalonica, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you." God's will is that we always rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Erwin Lutzer said you can learn to give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. If God gives a command, He expects obedience, whether you are in the mood or not. Thankfulness, like forgiveness, is not an emotion. Thankfulness is an intelligent response of the gratitude of God. Tonight I want to talk about three features about thanksgiving. I want us to see how we can be thankful. The first one is the call to thanksgiving. We are called to be thankful to God. Over in Psalm 100, we see that this was David's plea. Notice with me these words, Psalm 100 and verse 4. It says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Now it tells us that right after it has just said to make a joyful shout to the Lord. We are to enter into His courts with praise. We are called to be thankful to God. Those words are difficult. Those words were difficult for that pastor's wife as she looked at her husband who had been martyred for Christ. Those words are difficult for you and me as we experience disappointments and frustrations and expectations that go unfulfilled. But we are to be thankful to God. And as in that passage there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In all things we are to give thanks." That's God's will. When we come into His gates, we are to come with thanksgiving. And we are to come into His courts with praise. This too was Paul's exhortation to the believers at Colossae. If you notice with me over in Colossians chapter 3, he tells these believers, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you notice, two times he says in that passage, in verse 15, be thankful, in verse 17, giving thanks. What is the key that is found here in this text about giving thanks? I think that key is based upon the previous verse, verse 15. And that verse right there tells us to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the idea of the peace of God ruling, that's an athletic term, and it means that it let it be an umpire. Lightfoot says, wherever there is a conflict of motives or impulses or reasons, the peace of Christ must step in and decide which is to prevail. Warren Wiersbe adds, he says, the peace of God is the umpire in our believing hearts and our churches. When we obey the will of God, we have His peace within. But when we step out of His will, even unintentionally, we lose His peace. We must be aware, however, of a false peace in the heart. Jonah deliberately disobeyed God, yet he was able to go to sleep in the hold of a ship in a storm. I had peace about it is not sufficient evidence that we are in the will of God. We must pray, surrender to His will, and seek His guidance in the Scriptures. The peace of heart alone is not always the peace of God. Something else is involved. If we have the peace in our hearts, we will be at peace with others in the church. We are called to one body, and our relationship in that body must be one of harmony and peace. If we were out of the will of God, we are certain to bring discord and disharmony in the church. Jonah thought he was at peace when actually his sins created the storm. When a Christian loses the peace of God, he begins to go off in directions that are out of the will of God. He turns to the things of the world and the flesh to compensate for his lack of peace within. He tries to escape, but he cannot escape himself. It is only when he confesses his sins, claims God's forgiveness, and does God's will that he experiences God's peace within. When there is peace in the heart, there will be praise on the lips. Colossians 3:15, and be thankful. The Christian out of God's will is never found giving sincere praise to God. When David covered up his sins, he lost his peace and his praise. When he confessed his sins, then his song returned. How can a wife who has just lost her husband be thankful? How can a group of kids, seeing another group of kids, as we read earlier tonight in Awana, be beaten for their faith in Christ, how can they be thankful? How can you, as you go through trials and temptations and struggles and difficulties, how can you be thankful? How can you look discouragement straight in the face and find a means of thanksgiving? I think a lot of it has to do with our perspective. How we look at the issues. How we address them. Do we look at them the way God looks at them? Do we see that He is working a far exceeding greater weight of glory for His children? Do we see that those trials that try us are perfecting us, maturing us? And as it says there in James chapter 1, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It's so hard to see what the end result is to be. God wants us to be thankful. He calls us to thanksgiving. He calls us to be thankful to Him. A second thing that He calls us to is that we are to be thankful for each other. And there are two reasons why that we are to be thankful for each other. Two among probably many reasons, but two of them for tonight. The first one is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. And Paul says it this way, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." What was he thankful for there? He was thankful because of the proclamation of the faith. He was thankful that they were speaking the truth. Their faith was being proclaimed, and it was going throughout the whole world. That brought joy and gladness to his heart. And when you see others that are experiencing obedience to Jesus Christ and sharing the truth, that brings joy and thanksgiving to your heart. We're to be thankful for each other because of the proclamation of the faith. Secondly, we're to be thankful to each other because of God's call to salvation in your life. Are you thankful for your salvation? One person said, "A true Christian is a man who never for a moment forgets what God has done for him in Christ, and whose whole comportment and whole activity have their root in the sentiment of gratitude." Have you forgotten what it was like to be delivered from sin? Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus." He thanked God for them. Even though that church was in the midst of so much confusion and trouble and carnality, he still found a way of thanking God because the gospel came to them. And he knew that the gospel, it was powerful enough to take them out of the kingdom of darkness and translate them into the kingdom of light. It was also powerful enough to clean up the messes. Just as the Word of God is powerful enough to transform each of our lives tonight. And every time we open up the Word of God, we should come with that purpose. God, transform my life tonight. Change me today. Even over to the church at Colossae, he was thankful. He says there in chapter 1 and verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." He was thankful for the salvation of other people. He loved to see that occur. Do you love to see people come to know Jesus? Come to know Him as Savior and Lord? People that you've prayed about for such a long time and ask God to open up their hearts for a long time. Are you thankful? Are you even thankful as you're waiting for Him to do that? We are to be thankful. Thankful to God, we are to be thankful for each other. Now, I know that there are days when we're not lovable people. Amen? All of us have that. All of us are that. There are days when we're down. There are days when we're struggling. There are days when we're frustrated. But we are to be thankful. The same grace that God gave that pastor's wife, He can give and does give to each one of His children. Amen. To be able to endure. As we read this morning in Hebrews chapter 12 about considering Jesus who endured the hostility from sinners, we can look to Him for our example. So we're called to be thankful. And if we're called to be thankful, then let's ask a simple question. What does it mean to be thankful if we're called to this? And if we're called to that activity all the time in our life, what does it mean? Well, I want to give you three words as we define what it means, or rather four words of what it means to be thankful. The first one I define by this word, grateful. This means being appreciative of benefits received. And could we say we have received much benefits from God? Amen. Are we grateful? The Greek word here means to be grateful. The word indicates the obligation of being thankful for someone for a favor done. The thankfulness arises out of the grace of God and that which He has done. God has given us His grace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be grateful. That's the Greek word that's used there. We're to be grateful. The other psalm that I read just a moment ago, Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be grateful to Him. How do you think God feels about an ungrateful heart? He wants us to be grateful. The second word I would give is the word gratitude. And this is the state of being grateful. It is a season of all seasons, as one writer tells us. Gratitude is born in hearts that takes time to count up past mercies. Do you take the time to look back and to see what God has done in your life? And the state of your life could be that of gratitude because you are grateful for what He has done. A.W. Tozer says, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poor, but richer for having made it. All of us are on equal level when it comes to trials and when it comes to thanksgiving. As it says there in James chapter 1, the rich man let him boast in his humiliation, and let the poor man boast in that he is exalted. They're both brought to the same place. The playing field has been leveled now. Your riches won't deliver you in the day of trouble. Neither will poverty deliver in day of trouble. This word here refers to gratitude. Over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul tells the church at Colossae, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with gratitude. That's the word thanksgiving. We want to abound in gratitude. We want to abound in being grateful for what God has done. We have received so much from the hand of God. Amen. So much. Are you grateful? Do you have gratitude in your heart? Even over in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with gratitude. Being grateful. See, this is an offering and a sacrifice that brings praise to God. It's when we're thankful. John Miller says, how happy a person is depends on the depth of his gratitude. A third word that would define the meaning is found over in Luke 2:38. And it's expressed in this way, after Anna saw the baby Jesus, in that instant she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The third word is glorify. Praise. The word thanksgiving is expressed in praise as you sing to Him. What did Charles Wesley write? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Glorifying Him. John Milton said, on earth, join all ye creatures to extol Him first, Him last, Him midst, and without end. He's worthy of our praise. And when you sing, when you worship, do you glorify Him? See, that's being thankful. That's being grateful. That's having a heart and a life of gratitude because you know you do not deserve what He has given you. See, when you think back on being delivered from your sin, when you think back on that day or the evening when Christ came into your life, what does that produce? It should produce gratitude. It should cause you to glorify God. It should cause you to sing your Redeemer's praise. The fourth word is grace. That word grace, charis, sometimes it's translated thanks in the New Testament. And the idea of the word is expressing favor. And we see that in Paul's writings because he said to the Romans in Romans 1:7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted favor from God expressed to these believers. He said the same thing to the Corinthians. If you look over in 1 Corinthians 1:3 and 2 Corinthians 1:2, the same thing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. And he realized and understood that any favor that anybody was to receive was going to come from God Himself. He desired this for the churches at Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica. He also desired this for Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. This grace or this favor comes from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul desired that for them. Charles Finney says, a state of mind that sees God in everything is evidence of growth in grace and a thankful heart. Are we able to see God in everything? Are we able to see His hand? See His working in our life? Are we able to give thanks for the moments that we don't understand what He is doing? Are we able to offer praise and worship and glorify Him? Are we able to take the things that we experience and transfer them to Him? Are we able to look at Him and see what He experienced for us and offer praise and worship to Him? How do we apply this thanksgiving? Well, by the very definition, we are to have an attitude of thanksgiving, which demonstrates itself in rejoicing and prayer and thanksgiving. But let me just show you a few ways that we can apply this. The first one is, become a Christian. If you're not a born-again believer, then become one. And how do you become one? Well, you become a believer by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You become a believer by believing who He is, that He is God. And that you confess and repent of your sin and turn to Him. And you trust in His atoning work for your life. And you trust Him and Him alone. That is the only means by which we can truly become thankful, is to become one of His children. That will produce gratitude. The second one is to be Spirit-filled. Turn with me over to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians chapter 5, and the command that's found there in verse 18. And what's so interesting about this passage is that He defines for us what a life is like when it's filled with the Spirit. He tells us what thankful people are like. He tells us what Spirit-filled people are like. He says there in verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or which leads to excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or the literal Greek rendering would be this, be being kept filled with the Spirit. It's something that you must do, that is, you must get out of the way, you must die to self, you must surrender, you must yield, but at the same time, you can't do it, He has to do it in you. But look what happens when that occurs. See, sometimes we get so analytical and we go, is this me or is this the Holy Spirit? Well, just think of it this way. Anything good comes from Him. Anything bad comes from you. But look what happens. Look at the results that are found beginning at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Has a melody filled your heart lately? Do you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Do you have a praise-filled heart? Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? You mean when I am Spirit-filled, I will give thanks? That's what He's saying. I can give thanks when I'm yielded to the Spirit. I can give thanks when I abandon myself and get my eyes off myself and get my eyes on Jesus. I could give thanks. no matter what I go through, no matter what I experience, I can give thanks always for all things. Now that's a moment-by-moment process. You can be thankful right now, 2 minutes later, not be. We go in and out of emotions all the time, don't we? 1 minute we can be happy, next minute we can be sad, 1 minute we can be angry. All of these are emotions, but notice this, you can't trust your emotions. He says there in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. What's the third thing that happens there in that passage? Well, not only will I have a praise-filled heart, a thankful spirit, but I also would have a submissive spirit. My heart and my life can be filled with praise to my Redeemer because of being yielded and filled by the Spirit of God, but my heart also can exhibit a thankfulness and a submissiveness when I'm filled with the Spirit. That is the only way that I can truly obey my Savior, is to be filled with the Spirit. That is the only way that I can find encouragement from His Word. That is the only way that I can understand His Word, is to be filled with the Spirit. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 3. And you see the same results coming. But they're coming out of something else that's occurring. Starting at verse 16. He says in verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Let the Word dwell in you. Well, what do I got to do to let the Word dwell in me? I've got to get in the Word. And then I've got to let the Word get in me. That's time, isn't it? It takes time. It's a process. It's a commitment. But look what happens when that occurs. There will also be singing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There will also be in verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, you'll do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll give thanks to God the Father through Him." Submission will also occur, verse 18 and following. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Word. It means to allow the Word of God to control me. Have you ever had this happen? You have something occur in your life, maybe you're tempted at something and you know that that is wrong, and all of a sudden, some verses of Scripture come to your mind. You know what is occurring there? I believe what is occurring there is the results of 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is providing the way of escape out of that temptation. How about in trials? Does the same thing occur? It does. But if it's not occurring, then maybe it's because you're not letting the Word get in you. And maybe you're not spending the time that is necessary for it to get in you. If this is all the time you have in the Word, you need more than this. You need time with Him daily. How could you have a thankful heart filled with gratitude if you're not daily walking with the Savior? How could we have any type of perspective that would bring praise to Him if we're not walking with Him daily? You say, "Well, I am walking with Him daily and I'm still struggling." The Word of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, issue in the same results. And one of those results is thanksgiving. We need to be Spirit-filled. A third, in applying thanksgiving, the first one was become a Christian. The second, be Spirit-filled. The third is reflect on God's work in your life. Reflect. Have you ever just reminisced at what He has done for you? Look back at all of the things that He has done in your life. See, it's sometimes we forget about those things. Greg read in Psalm 103 earlier, when he talked about bless the Lord and forget not any of His benefits. The problem with us, we forget. But we need to reflect. We need to remember. We need to be reminded about what He has done in our life. He's at work in your life tonight. He's at work in you right now. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. I like to say this, that we are those who are under construction. One of the things that you find when you go on the internet, if you come to a site that is under construction, that's the sign you'll get, under construction. You walk into some building sometimes and they're renovating a room, it says, pardon our mess, we're under construction. We were at a building here this past week that's going to be turned into something else, and they said everything is going to be gutted out of here but the steel frame. They will be under construction. Beloved, look at one another. We're under construction. God is at work in us. And sometimes we wonder, will He get the finished product? Of course He will. He will complete what He has started. That is His faithfulness to us. And that alone right there ought to produce praise and gratitude in our hearts, because He has begun a work and He will complete it. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, in that chapter, it talks about the resurrection. It talks about what kind of bodies that we have. And Paul says, listen, let's don't get into this nonsense about terrestrial and heavenly bodies and so forth. I don't know what kind of body we'll have, he says, but it'll be a body not like the one we have. Amen. It'll be a glorious body. It'll be an incorruptible body. And one day, this corruption is going to put on incorruption. And as he ends that chapter, he says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that new body is only possible because of Jesus Christ. And we'll be like unto Him. One day we'll put off this vile body that we fight and struggle with that brings us down. One day we'll be given a body that won't do any of those things. Psalm 107 in verse 8. That whole chapter has this phrase repeated throughout it. But it's one that's good to leave us with. It says this, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Think about that when you're driving home tonight. That you would give thanks to Him for His wonderful works to you. Thank Him for the vehicle that you're driving. Thank Him even if it doesn't make it home. Thank Him through whatever you experience. Sometimes when I pray with the kids, I just rehearse some of these things He's given us. I thank Him for a home. I thank Him for a bed to sleep in. I thank Him for something to keep us warm or keep us cool. Ben Patterson, he says, whatever we have because God in His grace and generosity has given it to us. When we realize this, there comes into our lives a joyful gratitude for what we have. And we are freed from resentment and anxiety over what we do not have. You see, we're satisfied. We're content. Erwin Lutzer again says, a Christian who walks by faith accepts all circumstances from God. He thanks God when everything goes good, when everything goes bad, and for the blues somewhere in between. He thanks God whether he feels like it or not. We've had a few of those days, haven't we? Maybe having one right now. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for what He is going to do through it. Thank Him that He is at work in you. Be grateful unto Him. Glorify His name. You know, the apostles, when they were first beaten and suffered for Christ, they praised God and rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. Think of it in that perspective, that we're worthy of His attention. He gives us the attention to work in our life and to make us like Jesus. A Christian who walks by faith accepts all circumstances from God. He thanks God when everything goes good, when everything goes bad, and for the blues somewhere in between. He thanks God whether he feels like it or not. What do you feel like tonight? Are you thanking Him? Are you rejoicing in Him? I hope that you are. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You for Your work in our life. We want to thank You, Father, for Your work in our life tonight. We want to thank You that we can come to Your Word and we can see what it says about such an issue as being thankful. We can come to Your Word, which is completely sufficient for every area of our life, that will give us principles and wisdom and direction and instruction in righteousness. Lord, You teach us Your Word. And I pray tonight that Your Holy Spirit will give us the understanding of what we have studied tonight and throughout this day, and that we would be grateful. Father, I'm grateful for what You have done in my life. I'm grateful for how You've saved me and You've changed me and You've given me a new life. I'm thankful for my wife and for my kids You've given me. I'm thankful for this church that You have given us to serve in. I'm thankful, Lord God, for the things that You have done in my life, whether they've been good or bad, because You love me. And You love me enough to make me like You. You love me enough to teach me. You love me enough to instruct me in Your ways. You love me enough to warn me about my sin and its consequences. And You love me enough to even to let me go through the consequences. You love me enough to give me Your grace and Your favor. I thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, I just pray tonight that You'll work in every heart and here. And Lord, You'll start with mine. I pray that You would purge me of my sin. And God, You would cause me to be a vessel that would bring praise and honor to You. I pray that for each person in here tonight. Lord, shine forth through all the dross in our life. Cleanse us away. Cleanse that away from our lives. That would come from our lips would be praise because we have a thankful heart. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.